Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Wednesday, everybody. Good morning, Cannabis Kid.
Good morning, Belstar.
Good morning,
we are live.
Sativa
this morning.
Sister. Silver Sativa Sister. We are live, aren't we?
We are live
with a quiet audience. You guys, wake up out there. Wake up. We got 40 years stoned. How many do we
40
have?
40 years.
We're trying to figure out how many years stoned we got here. I got, so far, we've got 32 plus what do you got? I got 25.
20.
You got 7. You got 20? I think we beat it. And we've got, what, 52 years stoned? I love it. All right, 52 years stoned.
52?
You might be wondering why we're adding up our stony years. We have an author.
First tried cannabis.
Yeah. How many years have you been taking cannabis? I take marijuana. We're about to take some right now. And we're about to have an awesome guest on our show, Tom Hooth, this morning. Wrote a book called 40 Years Stoned. So we're going to find out what the heck that's all about. What's going on in the world today? Last week we had 420, and we were at the 420 Social Club Live.
And that was such a great event.
Was a blast.
You guys did an awesome job down there. I had some of the food, which was amazing. There's lots of great entertainment. Some comedians were up there with some bands. Belle and I were talking to a lot of the patients that were walking by.
Oh,
our
yeah,
booth
that was really nice. Yeah.
So you can kind of hear some of the stories from some of our patients from
personal stories.
Personal
you don't
stories.
Really get to hear a whole lot of why
for
people
sure.
are using the cannabis. Tell them of
a lot of them were, you know, they were really opening up to us and talking to us about, you know, why they use cannabis and why it's important to them, how it makes them feel. It makes them feel a lot better. It's in some parts. It's taking a lot of their pain away.
It's a very
some
medicinal,
of them were
magical plant.
Mental health conditions can be definitely helped with cannabis.
And we had one gentleman stop by just at random who is suffering from PTSD, but not because he's a veteran, because he suffered police brutality. We'll call it that. We don't know the exact or the full story, but this gentleman suffers from an attack on him by the police that apparently was unwarranted, and he is severely, severely suffering from it because of that. He has a hard time going out at night. He has a hard time watching TV shows that are involved with anything like that. When he sees police cars, he's really, really overly sensitive, he says. You know, you should feel safe when you see a police car. But
right.
These days, people have such a tremendous different way of looking at the cops, especially because of the media, that he himself gets really anxious, gets scared, fearful. All those feelings, the visceral cellular feelings start coming up again. He gets panic attacks, anxiety attacks, and that stuff can be crippling and debilitating. You can't get out of your house. You can't have friends. You can't function.
Well, even he said when he was there, the police were just doing the random check and making sure that everything was fine. And he had a panic attack while
yeah.
he was there and actually he was able to use his medication during that episode, and was able to relieve some of those symptoms of PTSD and calmed himself down and was able to, but it was due to that episode or due to that situation that that episode occurred. So,
well, and it continuously occurs, and you know, it's a sad thing that anyone feels threatened by somebody that's supposed to be protecting them.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a societal thing. We're supposed to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You flip on the news and you see all these countries that are just at war, and you know, you're supposed to walk out in America. You're supposed to walk out in America and feel safe. But this young man was brave enough to share his story, and we thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to do. Especially in our world that's so judgmental, you know, we just, anyway, thank you. 420 Social Club, thank you, Chris, and Sam, and Eric, and everybody down there. Stacy from the Cannabis.
Oh, she was sweet.
That was so great. She was sweet. They're going to stop by Tumbleweeds Health Center, and I'm not sure when, but we're going to make a scheduled appearance for the Cannabis to stop by. So we'll just put that out in the very parking lot.
Yeah.
Leave it there.
If you were anywhere in that area or the vicinity of 4th Avenue on last Wednesday on 420, it was quite a sight to see that big green bus, the school bus, that was decorated and really nicely done. You know, it definitely catches eyes and, you know, she's out there educating every day.
Traveling
and
over.
Getting the signatures and... it couldn't have gone to a more bubbly person. And
oh, just
more,
a beautiful spirit. She's very kind.
She's amazing.
Educated, open,
mm-hmm.
seemingly non-judgmental. You can't have people out there that are going to look
no.
at someone and go,
open-hearted,
you
know,
you
for sure. And knowing what she's doing out there, driving all around the United States, where did she pick it up at? She picked it up in... Kansas City?
I don't know. We're gonna have
anyway,
to have
yeah,
again.
We are gonna have to have. But
well,
anyway, if you were down
yeah.
there in that area, there was a lot going on. The initiative was out there. AZFMR was out there getting signatures. So they're still collecting signatures.
Yeah.
So if you haven't signed that petition.
Please
get out
it.
There and sign it.
Tumbleweed Cell Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard will be out at the Folk Festival. Tumbleweed Health Center voted number one certification center and number one education center in the entire world. For the whole world. For the world at large. But we're going to be out at the Folk Festival this weekend. Also, we're going to have some of the volunteers from... AZFMR down there collecting signatures, and we'll have the petitions at our booth as well. So come down and see us, and we will get thousands more. So why don't, I believe we have Mr. Tom on the air, so why don't we just have Tom on and we can talk about 4-year stone and what that exactly means. All right. Welcome to Weeds Day Wednesday. Good morning. You're on air.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Belle.
Hey,
how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Excellent. Well, we're trying to figure out how many years. We've got 50-something years stoned here, but that was through a collection.
I heard that I felt really overmatched. Humbled by claiming 40. And 40. Nothing to you.
Well, that took three of us, Tom.
Yeah, but that took, yeah. It is something.
You're one
you
man.
You
oh,
win.
I see. Oh, okay. I feel much
yeah.
better. I feel much better.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
You should. We'll get you back. I'm feeling better. So, Tom, tell us about 40 Years Stoned and what people are saying. Tell us about you and who you are and how you got here. We know Melissa Etheridge is giving kudos to you out there.
Very nice, Tom.
And,
love her.
Yeah.
That's
so
sweet. Well, I'm an old newspaper man. I've been a writer for most of my life and an editor. And this book is about a very successful and rewarding life, my life, a life that's been full of adventure but also some misfortune. And how a life can be guided by the insights and inspirations of smoking grass. There's so much talk these days, as you know, about the issues of marijuana, the legal issues, the medical issues, the entrepreneurial opportunities, the venture capital opportunities. This is a book about the stoned experience itself, the cerebral effects. I call it pot lit, and it feels like I have the field to myself. Nobody's writing about this.
I think you do. I think you can tell us about that, though, because that's something that, you know, people are afraid of oftentimes. They, oh, I don't want to get high, you know, but I always say what's wrong with a little happy. Tell us about your experience.
Well, exactly. Well, this book has some funny chapters. The longest chapter is about my brother who was murdered by a mass serial killer, and how I befriended the killer on death row to find out what happened to Jerry. And the tie-in with marijuana here is it just dope makes me rabidly curious as a writer and wanting to know everything and to tell everybody everything. And so that drove me to find out really what happened to my brother. But the longest, the thread, the heart of this book is about my wife Holly and how she has had Parkinson's for 20 years and how marijuana has helped to ease her discomforts and anxieties and given me the pizzazz and the I call them the countless sweet clemencies which have let me go deep into extra innings as her caregiver and make the whole thing totally bearable and an uplifting experience rather than a tragedy.
Now, were you both using cannabis before the Parkinson's came on?
Okay, I will admit, she's only had Parkinson's for 20. She's only had Parkinson's for 20 years, and I've been using it for 40 years. And I had a piece in the New York Times last week, and one of the comments said, "Hey, this guy's been doing it long since before the Parkinson's. This is just his excuse." Well, maybe that's so, but as we know, marijuana is a wonderful substance for. It doesn't have to involve an illness.
It is a wonderful substance. Yeah. So how did it help her with her challenges? What did you see that it helped with?
Well, it didn't. It, you know, you can't cure Parkinson's with marijuana, but she had so many discomforts and anxieties, especially when she went through years of withdrawal from the Western drugs, which didn't help her. And the marijuana just eased her mood, tamped down her anxieties, caused her to forget her discomforts and notice the beauty of the world outside. It just has been made the whole thing work out for us as much as that can happen.
Absolutely. And where are you living now? Where are you?
Living in Santa Barbara. I also have a home in Colorado, in a little hippie town above Boulder. But we're in Santa Barbara right now, and I've spent quite a bit of time in Arizona and Tucson as well, actually.
Oh,
but I didn't. But I didn't know about the THC. I didn't know about the Tumbleweed Health Center until now.
Well, welcome. We're glad that you're here. You know, we didn't get a copy of your book before the radio show. It was
really okay.
Because there was a pre-order. So, is Holly still with you?
Yes, she is. But you know, between you and me and the whole radio audience. She's right on her last legs, and now I give her. She can't really smoke it anymore, so I slip her a little cannabis oil a few nights a week, and sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it really brightens her up, and seems to take her back a few years. She has facial expressions I don't normally see. It really does lighten and brighten her up on occasion, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So she, did you guys go through the whole process in California to get her medical card then to do this legally? And
yeah, she's had a medical license, I think, since 2003 or 2004, and that's been no problem at all. And of course, when we're in Colorado, certainly no problem.
These
days.
How often do you get to Colorado?
Well, you know, she doesn't go back there anymore. I try to get back in the summertime every year for several weeks, and we have a great staff of caregivers here to take care of her when I'm not here, and so I just get back in the summers.
And what made you want to write this book?
Well, I mean, I'm a storyteller, and I'm not an advocate exactly. I'm a storyteller, and I'm a happy old stoner, and I wanted to share my joy, and I wanted to tell the story of Holly and her problems and my brother and various aspects of my life. And it just seemed like when you're writing a memoir, for me, marijuana connects all of my life's major experiences since I was 30 years old. And so it was just a convenient way to package it, and I thought an illuminating way, and a way that happens to be very popular these days. So I thought all those things combined might make for a book that would sell, and so far I'm doing very well on it. Thank you.
I bet. And how did you get Melissa Etheridge a copy? How did she get involved here?
Boy, well, I made a list of, you know, most writers, when they want a blurb on their front and back covers, they go for other writers. But I thought, well, why not go for celebrity stoners? And Melissa, you know, I tried Cheech and Chong and Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson and Susan Sarandon. But Melissa Etheridge has come out publicly and is well known for using it medically and also to go on stage. And so I wrote to her publicists, and it took a little while, and I had to sweet talk them, but they came back, and I was delighted, of course. And of course, the cover photograph is by Annie Leibovitz of my wife and I in 1954. I mean,
wow.
1994, just before she was diagnosed, actually. It's she and I are on the almost naked on the beach in Costa Rica. It's a great picture, and I'm probably the least famous person Annie has ever shot. So I'm pleased for
How
that.
Did you have that opportunity?
Well, I wrote a series of articles for Condé Nast Traveler magazine about building a beach shack in Costa Rica, and they just sent Annie down there for 3 or 4 days to hang out with us and take our pictures as we're building this little shack, and just like that.
Wow, just like that, just, you know, hang out with Annie.
There's just something
taken,
about being,
you know,
next to the ocean, especially, you know, to take things away, and it's such a peaceful place. So,
well, the great thing about this photo is that you just look like it's an everyday Tuesday. You're just on the beach in your everyday wares, and someone happened to be there with a camera you didn't know. You know what I mean? It almost doesn't look posed. It looks like you're just looking out, hanging out, enjoying life.
Right. Well, for those who can't see the cover, we are dressed in nothing but palm fronds tied around us, and a friend happened to take a picture from the back, which showed a much less dignified picture of us than the one Annie took from the front.
Did that make the back cover? Just kidding.
No, it did not, Belle. They didn't use that part. Although that's a damn good idea.
You can send us that copy. We'll have a special edition 40-year stone. So you've got a very interesting you've got a very interesting website here. You can all go to 40yearstone.com, and he's got stories, travel articles, photos. They're very interesting, and it ranges anywhere from cannabis to cannibals.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, I was very fascinated last night in my readings before bed. But tell us some stories about your life, and tell us some of the things that are in this book that people are going to want to read, other than us, you know, stoners.
Well, there's quite a bit of adventure. I was a travel writer for the major magazines for about 25 years until they stopped running feature-length articles a few years ago. To focus on their websites, but it just took me all over the world, New Guinea, Greenland. I discovered Leif Erikson's birthplace in Iceland, actually. Solomon Islands, the farthest reaches. Other travel writers got sent to Florence and Paris and London, and that was fine, but I wanted to go to the ends of the earth, and it happened. So it was a wonderful, wonderful life, and Holly took most of those trips with me and often shot the photographs, and so we've had a wonderful life, and there's not, you know, the fact that Holly is nearing the end isn't really a tragedy. We've had such a good life. If I keeled over tomorrow, it wouldn't be a tragedy. I've had a great life, and so is Holly. So we're,
Well, we're blessed to have you for the moments we do. I have some questions about your travels now. Well, you say 40-year stones, so you
it's
must have traveled.
I have to tell you, Belle, I have to admit, it's 44 years, but, you know, I forget a few of those years.
We round up, round down, you know,
yeah.
Whatever makes a better cover. Now, in your travels, first, what's the favorite place you've ever been in our world? And did you get to smoke your cannabis there? Did you get to use, you know, in different places? Were they open to that back in the day?
Well, when I felt it was safe, I would say 2/3 of the trips I smuggled some cannabis in. I never tried to buy it in places where I went, but I was able to smuggle some in by taking some empty pill capsules and filling them up with some marijuana and stuff like that. And it didn't, some people might think traveling is eye-opening enough without having to use marijuana, but to me, you can never heighten your experience too much. And so the combination of the stonedness the travel itself gives you and then the extra lift that the marijuana does really made things, I thought, revelatory. And I noticed, interesting, on trips I took straight when I didn't feel it was safe to take it, I had a fine time when I wasn't smoking. I had a great reporting trip. And coming home, I knew I had a good story. And then I'd get home, and an hour or two later, I'd take a couple puffs on my pipe, and all of a sudden, the story took on whole new dimensions and depths and associations I hadn't seen before. And it just reminded me, oh, this drug is such a powerful enlightener. And
it is.
As if I would forget. It just reminded me of what a powerful substance this is.
You know, we had a guest on our show one time, Dr. Lester Grinspoon. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I know of him, of course, yes.
So his best friend was Carl Sagan. And I love what he said because along the same lines, he gave cannabis a different category. You know, people use it recreationally. They use it for medicine. But he called it an enhancement, which I loved. I thought that was a great way of describing it. It's an enhancement. And it's a beautiful one at that. It's a non-toxic, beautiful plant.
Yeah, I mean, what a spokesman to have for a plant,
right?
Carl Sagan. He wasn't really a spokesman, but as you know, he did write a couple of things about it. And I'm honored to be in his company.
Yeah, absolutely. He was an amazing man, and just goes to show you. You know, I always say stoners are smart. So I was going to ask a question about Holly. Was she in the process of writing this book as well with you, or
no?
Did she help?
No, she was a children's book author in her day, actually, and had several books published by Simon and Schuster. And she, as far as I know, she didn't use marijuana as a writer like I do and have been for 44 years. This was just my story. She knows I'm doing it. She's aware that I've written this book about us, and she likes the cover and is happy for me. But she didn't take part in the writing of it. No.
Well, I can't wait to get the book. We're going to do we'll do a pre-order. You'll have to send us a signed copy. But
you can order it on Amazon. They ran out. The sales were good enough since it came out last Wednesday that they actually ran out, and they're now back in stock. So, and you can get a Kindle version as well.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great, and it's a really good price. It's like $6.99 for Kindle, and I forget what the actual was, but that's awesome.
$14, I think.
Yeah. So it's a really good deal. Are you touring around with the book? Are you doing book signings, book shows?
Yes, I did. I went to Boulder for my launch at the Boulder Bookstore and had all my hippie friends from this little town of Gold Hill that I've known for 40 years. And they all came and yahooed, and I sold about 60 books. And then next week I'll be in New York. I'll be at Shakespeare and Company on Lexington and 68th on Tuesday evening to read. And a couple other things. And it looks like Vice Media wants to get involved and shoot a little documentary about Holly and me here and how we use marijuana to help us. And that should certainly be interesting, too.
When will that be coming out?
I don't know. I think they're going to come here and shoot in late May, something like that. When it'll be out, maybe, I suppose, the summertime sometime. But that's their channel, their Viceland channel. They have a series called Weediquette.
Yeah, part of that. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Now, you mentioned something earlier. You said you give Holly some oil because she can't smoke really anymore, but you give it to her, you know, a couple times a week. Does she get it daily in any form, or is it just you give it to her?
No, I give it to her in an evening when it seems like she's alert in the first place. If she's not very alert, she doesn't seem to do anything. But if I notice she's up and bright-eyed, I give it to her. And on the better occasions, she's even brighter-eyed and will talk much more than she would. She can't talk much anymore, but when she's had a little oil, she can often really wake up and start talking. And understandably, it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I can't even imagine. Are you using the RSO, the Rick Simpson type oil, or some extract like that?
Well, we have dispensaries here in Santa Barbara. As you may know, California used to have a lot of storefronts all over the state, and then the Obama administration in 2011 and 12 just started raiding them, closed 500 businesses. And what happened is, instead of having to drive to a dispensary, which I used to do, well, they closed them all down, so now it's all done by home delivery, so I can just order online, and half an hour later, there'll be a knock at the door, and there's the guy, and so it's made it much easier. Thank you, Mr. Obama.
Yeah, there are a lot of deliveries there.
And they have the oils as well as the smokables and the edibles and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
And I know Arizona. Go ahead.
Do you find that the edibles
I never really got off on edibles, and I know other people think it's the best thing in the world, but I just never that sudden lift of smoking it is just something I've gotten so used to. It triggers the state that I like to be in, and it just works for me. And of course, now that to hear that it's even good for my health and good for my lungs, and I mean, gee, who would have thought? I mean, I never had much caution in using grass. I just loved it, and I thought, well, if I die a little early, it's been a great life. And now, as it turns out, hell, I may even live longer because I've been doing it. So win, 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 win.
Yeah. Oh, win. It's a wonderful, wonderful plant. Tell us a little bit about we're going to go back a little bit, back to the 70s. Let's go back to the 70s a little bit. Tell us about your involvement with the organization Normal.
Oh, yeah. I was a reporter for the Washington Post during Watergate and then dropped out, as we say, in 73 and moved west. And then a former colleague at the Post heard that Normal wanted to do a marijuana book and recommended me. And so I flew to Washington and went to the headquarters of Normal. Keith Stroop, the founder, was there, and these other lawyers were working to, you know, help growers and users not get prosecuted. And we all sat down, smoked a joint, and decided this would work. I lived in their attic for three weeks while I was doing the research. And they had a big glass jar up in the, of all the roaches that had been smoked during their business meetings. And these were growers all over the country were so grateful for what Normal was doing, they would send them samples of their finest products. And then they'd smoke it up in this room, which was my bedroom, and leave the old jar full of roaches. And they said, oh, you can partake, use any of those while you're here. And I thought, God, what a confluence of goodwill and good weed here. That worked out pretty well. But the book never came out because that was at the height of the last effort to decriminalize. When Jimmy Carter was in office, when he became president, one of his planks was decriminalization of everything less than an ounce of marijuana.
Right.
But then he got in some political trouble, and this book recounts how one of Normal's best friends was Jimmy's drug advisor, a guy named Dr. Peter Byrne. And then the issue of Paraquat came up, and the chemical that they were spraying on crops in Mexico. And Normal was against it. and Peter Bourne for the White House, unfortunately, we did not go along with normal on this. And so they had a big Christmas party, and Peter Bourne was caught, was noticed smoking, snorting coke at the party. And so Keith Stroop outed him to the columnist Jack Anderson, and that really blew up in everybody's face, and it caused Jimmy Carter to back away from the decriminalization effort. And it was really the last time, up until now, when the grass came closest to being legalized, and who knows what will happen now, but that's what happened to the last effort. And that, so that died, and then, of course, Ronald Reagan came in office, and so much for that.
Right. That's all you had to say. Wow. Yeah,
yes,
that's amazing. What do you? Yeah. Well, not anymore. What do you think about the organizations today that are out there pushing for cannabis legalization, like MPP, or we have a local one that's pushing for the mindful regulation of cannabis? What do you think about the efforts now? Our country.
You know, I do not, as I said, I'm not really a pot politician or an advocate. I do it, and I love to write about the effects, but I don't pay too much attention, frankly, to the legalization efforts. Always happy to see when, for example, California is expected to vote later this year and expected to approve recreational use, which will be huge.
That would be huge. It's been a long time
for California them. Falls, yeah.
Yeah.
Where does Arizona stand on this? I know you have medical pot laws, and you even allow the use of medical cards from other states. Seems to be okay there.
Yeah, we're getting ready to vote as well, so we'll see about getting our own legalized system here.
You know, in the last couple of years, I have heard that the U.S. Border Patrol, which has the authority to set up a highway blockade anywhere within 200 miles of the Mexican border. You know all this. And they're nabbing people coming in on, especially Interstate 8 from California, and searching people's cars. And so I have friends in Arizona. I'm good friends of Llanos, so if Llanos restaurant's down there. And I come visit them. I'm afraid to drive across the state border. And, so it's kind of weird. Maybe that's not going on time.
It's hit or miss out here, and depending on the closer you are to the border of Mexico, they're really on you. But usually, for patients here, and if you're a card-carrying patient such as yourself from California and you have your document, mostly what they'll do is just confiscate your medicine. They won't fine you or take you to jail. But,
That's bad enough.
Well, Prior to that, we had patients that were coming in to get their cards specifically because they were getting $2,000 and $4,000 tickets from Border Patrol, having to go to court, having to show up, pay these exorbitant fines, and having their weed taken away. So we think just having the weed taken is pretty good right now. And
I have a chapter in the book of I got stopped by the Border Patrol a couple of years ago, at the age of 71, and I had to. A little baggie of Durban poison in there. And they stopped me and interrogated me, and I thought they were going to waterboard me or something on the side of the road. And they said, we can fine you $500, but we will let you go if you abandon your marijuana. And I thought about that. And I said, well, if I paid the $500 fine, would you still take the dope? And they said, yep. I said, okay, I'll take your deal. And they walked me over to a dumpster and watched me empty my Durban poison in there, and they were satisfied. But they missed two big fat marijuana cookies right on the front seat of my car. They were sitting there, and when I drove away, I thought, hey, they left my cookies. Thank you.
What a reward.
Gluten-free cookies, too.
Yeah. You just got to be careful. But, hey, if you travel here and you come see us, don't worry about bringing anything. We got you.
You got it, huh, Belle?
We got you covered. You're allowed to share with friends. That's what Arizona says. You can share with your friends. Arizona law says sharing is caring.
That's nice. Well, everybody's liberalizing a bit.
Oh, we're trying. Well, look at Pennsylvania. We just got another one on our side.
24.
Look at that.
I didn't hear about that. What? Medical?
Yeah, they went medical. They're, in fact, they started for emergency purposes. People can, you know, for people with seizures or thing and disorders of let, you know, like that, they can go get emergency cannabis. And then otherwise, they said it'd take about a month or so to implement their program. So they're really on it. It's pretty cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
well,
it is wonderful.
Let's hope it just keeps moving this direction.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely think it will.
I think it's once we hit that, you know, halfway mark, we're going to just start seeing it just kind of roll. And, you know, it's people like you that are getting these experiences out there and telling people your story on a level that people are able to pick up a book and read and really get in touch with what it's doing for people. So I think it's really, really important.
Well, and I love what you said about the enhancement part of it, and is that you could never, I don't even remember your exact quote, but you can never have too much of an enhanced experience or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't, you know? I've never overdosed. I wouldn't even know what that would be. I only take, I'm one of those, everybody's a little different, but I'm one of those guys who takes about one or two hits at a time, maybe 8 or 10 times a day. Instead of, you know, waiting till evening and then, you know, having a whole joint. It's enough for, I maintain a certain level, and I've used it in my, everything I've written, I've been a writer all my life, everything I've written since April of 1972, I've written stoned. It just boosts my creativity so much that I just, and I know somebody would call me an addict or something. Well, I don't care. It just really works for me. But the few times when I've given it up for a week or two, I had an operation once and I gave it up. As you know, it doesn't. There's no shakes or palsy or anything. It just the world isn't quite as sparkly, granted, and my writing isn't quite as good. But there's no withdrawal or anything. That's why it's such a great drug. There's no downside to me.
It is. It's perfect.
Well, no one calls people who drink coffee every morning addicts either, Tom.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and there's some crazy coffee guys out there. Starbucks.
There are a few people that take an aspirin every day, too. We don't call them addicts.
Right.
And it's how much you take.
Yeah.
So, we don't.
Yeah.
Hey, you keep mentioning this Durban poison strain. What's your favorite strain?
Oh, you know, I get about the same level, or not about. I don't even notice, and I order sativa instead of indica because it's the head rush I want to get, and I don't have any body pain I want to quell. But so I always get sativa. But you know, I don't not notice the difference. I seem to reach the same level, no matter what I use. So even you know the last one I got is 34% THC. I said, huh? But it everything does about this. I don't know. Other people don't have that experience.
Wow.
They notice the difference between these strains. I just, everything works about the same.
30. What did you say? 34%.
34. It's up to 34% THC.
Oh.
When I went to the website of my dealer, whatever you call them now. whoa, 34%.
Website. I love it. Tom, what did you get your dealer for Christmas? So, you know, because the gardener gets something, the postman gets something. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I could give my gardener and postman a little package. And,
exactly.
Well, maybe not the postman. I'm good friends with my mail lady, but I'm not sure giving it to a federal employee would be the smartest thing to do.
Hey, Tom, it looks like we have a caller calling in. We're going to bring someone on air to talk with you for a moment, if you don't mind.
All right.
Al, welcome to Weed Stay Wednesday. You are live on the air with Tom, 40 years stoned. Good morning. Welcome to Weed Stay Wednesday. Are you there? We'll try this one.
Maybe I'll pretend to be here.
I think
all right, hold on. There you go. I think we have you now.
Can you hear me?
There we go. We got you. Welcome to Weed Stay.
Sorry, can you hear me?
For Tom. Yeah, welcome to Weed Stay. What's your question for Tom?
Yeah? Hi, I've been listening to the show, and I'm Tom's editor of 40 years.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on. Wonderful.
Calling in.
Not so much a I'm so sorry.
Oh, hopefully she'll call back in. You know, we might actually even be getting some feedback. Let me grab some headphones here.
I got feedback at the start of this talk, but then it went away.
Oh, did you? It kind of went away?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe she'll call back in. That'd be fun to have her call back in.
Yeah.
And I apologize. I'm not sure I didn't get this e-gallery that was sent over, but that's okay. We're having fun ad-libbing this anyway. Tom, we have a question. Someone has mentioned something about you getting Brokaw'd on the Today Show.
Well, that was just before I went to live at Normal in 1977. I had a house painting job in Boulder, Colorado, and I wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post, which I used to work for, just explaining that the industrialized methods they're using house building. And part of the thing I wrote about it, most of the workers went out in the woods during the break time and smoked a little dope, and I put that in the story. So I get a call from the Today Show the next day. Would you be willing to come on the Today Show and talk about workers using marijuana? And I said, oh, sure. And figuring, well, it's a much broader issue than that, but I can explain that. And so they flew me to New York, and Brokaw was going to interview me, and I was all excited, and I say their main interest is in marijuana, but I can steer them to these broader subjects of house building that I really meant to write about. And of course, I get on the show, and Tom Brokaw starts. Well, Tom, so in the morning, you didn't take a coffee break, did you? You and your friends took a marijuana break. And he led me through the entire interview with this kind of fill in the blanks kind of interview process. And he didn't give me one chance to sing my own song. So that's what I call being Brokaw'd. He really wanted just to sort of make fun of the whole hippie counterculture in this and dismiss it as a foolish thing. So anyway, that's getting Brokaw'd.
When you work for the system, you got to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Or you don't work for the system.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we have our editor back on. Let's see if we can do this again. Are you there? Can we get you back?
I am. Are you?
Oh,
yeah,
very
thank
nice.
You. That's, sorry about that. That's perfect.
It sounds great.
Beautiful.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Absolutely. We got you.
Oh, wonderful. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Marla.
Hi. I had to jump on this interview and add to the conversation. I'm really sorry, number one, that you guys didn't get the e-galley because we did send it to Kim, but no matter. This is a terrific interview. And, you know, one of the things that when I emailed you about Brokaw, one of the things that, frankly, as a medical cannabis activist in 2016, I'm still concerned about Tom and people like Tom who are out here really being, I know he doesn't think he's brave, but he is brave. But my concern is still that people are going to want to set these kind of writers up for ridicule. Have you guys run into that at all in Arizona where people kind of are looking to get you?
Well, you know, the great thing about an interview like this and about someone as magnificent as Tom is that Tom is who he is. And you can't get people like that. They can't get him because he's just going to come out and say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. We're loving it. Now our motto is, what would Tom do?
You know? Really, really true. And
absolutely. This industry can be very cutthroat. It's a very jealous industry. It can be a very immature industry. But at the same time, there are professional people in here that love this plant, that support it, that educate people in the correct way, and we just try and have people on here that want to share their stories. So we don't judge. We love it.
Well, you
know,
Tom and I have been working together for the last couple of years since we met at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. And what I have heard from Tom consistently is that, no, I'm not an activist. No, I don't know much about the politics, et cetera, et cetera. And what's interesting is that, and I said this to Tom just recently, is that whether he knows it or not, he's becoming an accidental activist, because this book is just kicking it. It's just kicking butt out here. And so here he is, you know, this guy who said, yeah, I just love the weed. He's doing a lot for us.
Oh, absolutely. And those are the kind of people that do the most. The people, they love what they love, and they do it because of that. And people see the genuineness in that. You know, Tom's very genuine in this photo of him with his little wood pipe here. It's precious. We might just hang it on the wall.
Isn't it cute? I mean, it's just adorable. And if you don't mind, I want to nudge Tom into talking about all of the standalone pieces that he's had out here on magazines, from MaryJane.com to Cannabis Sherry. Everything he writes gets published. Tom, you want to talk a little bit about...
There are all these marijuana websites, Mary Jane, Senior Stoners, one called Herb that used to be called the Stoner's Cookbook. It's interesting because it's mostly... news reports written in a very traditional old journalism style about legalization and everything. And I wonder, isn't anybody stoned out there? Aren't they? Where's the playfulness? Where's the humor? So I started writing for them, and they really welcomed that. I think I've had 11 or 13 excerpts or adaptations published by these websites, and they seem to can't get enough of it, because I don't think anybody's doing this, right? And about the stoned experience in a playful, stoned way. And then I had a piece. I was fortunate. I wrote a piece for the New York Times, published it on their op-ed page on a week ago Sunday. And it was called Why Getting High Makes Me a Better Caregiver. And I was, shocked, sort of. But of course, the Times has come out for the editorial board for legalization. But still, it was great to score that in the Times, and it got me a lot of attention and calls from MTV and all. So I'm delighted with that. That wakes people up when the New York Times runs a pro pot piece, and that's opened a lot of doors. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming out. The plant is out. You know, they can't help it now. And I think it's just, it'll be soon. Our government will just roll out the rules for everyone. Yeah, the whole, I don't think it'll be long before every state gets to do what they want with it.
Unless the Republicans sweep into office, and then you never know what'll happen.
Well, here's what's interesting. If I can just add this as a bit of a political activist here. What's interesting about the Republicans is that a lot of them are supporting it. And there's one guy in California, Dana Rochebacher, who is the most extreme. I covered Orange County for the Orange County Register for 16 years. I know this guy inside and out. He's the most extreme right-winger. His bill is the only bill that has gone across the aisle and has been passed by both sides. So remember that Republicans, while they may be odd in terms of their ideology, the one thing that most of them love, at least the leaders, they love money.
That's exactly right. We were just all making that money sign, because that's the truth. So they'll go for that.
It
for
is
sure.
The truth.
It is.
Yeah, they don't care about the medical.
And
they want
love
money.
Control.
They want to get in on it. And of course, all of us who are in the activist movement, and as I said, Tom is an accidental activist. I'm sorry, Tom, but you are. What we have to be concerned about is making sure that the small grower and the individual medical marijuana patient is protected when this legalization sweeps this country, because it will.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I was kind of asking how you felt about the different organizations like MPP and such that are out there that have big money. There seems to be a lot of challenge with the way that they're running their initiatives, and in that the patients are not going to have a lot of rights, and either in growing
it's
or...
It's a concern.
Yeah, it's a big concern.
It's a concern.
Really, and
it's a big concern.
I don't think the majority of people know.
I think that what's going to happen is that I have some background in legal, and there's a group of us out here who say, get it on the books, and then we'll change it. but we need to get it out. You know, we need to get it legalized, and then we'll fine-tune it. And then there are others who say, screw that. Fine-tuning it takes years of, you know,
yeah.
getting a bill reorganized and repassed. So, yeah, it's a big challenge. And again, back to 40 years stone, one of the reasons why I'm just so delighted that Tom's out here pushing the borders the way he is because it's through literature. This is really a literary work, and it is a wonderful, uplifting story, even though he tackles some really sad issues. And we haven't had that, and so this is like another, it excites me because it's another, pioneer out here.
Well, you know,
believe me, Tom is not the only gifted writer who's writing stoned or who's writing about the stoned experience. They're just scared to try and publish it, and he wasn't. He said screw it.
Right. That's absolutely the truth, and the truth of the matter is so many people judge people that want to use it recreationally, and I don't understand that, because our country specifically is one of recreation. You know, you ask most people what they do after work, they go home, they eat dinner, they have a glass of wine, they have a beer, they have a drink. It's the same
Darn
thing.
Right.
They're using that,
right.
And that's their choice. And what we come back to is it really is, it's about personal choice. If we want to use cannabis, if we want to use water or caffeine or Tylenol or
aspirin,
Dilaudid, we should have a choice.
You know,
we're
that's
just
exactly,
choosing the healthier,
exactly
non-toxic
right.
choice. Yeah.
No.
Well,
but, yeah.
I am certainly in agreement with that. You know, if people can have a double martini at night, which really just kills the damn liver and pancreas. And we know that. We have that data. We've been, in all the time that we've been studying marijuana, we can't find anything that does bad, but we sure can find all the good stuff. So, you know, research and education and books like Tom's and more, I hope that writers are out there listening. Please write. Contact me if you don't want to contact anyone else, because I'm looking for authors who are really willing to share their experience on the page, and preferably writers who really know how to write. And Tom really knows how to write, and that's why this book is going to be, I think, well, I don't want to say it, but I think it's got long legs.
Very nice.
Yeah, I think so.
You know,
I've
used the word pot lit to describe what I do, and it wasn't until last week a friend of mine laughed and said, "That's a double entendre." I said, "I missed it." What? Well, lit like pot lit up. Oh,
isn't that great?
That works for me.
And it's what you're writing, Tom. It's definitely what you're writing, and then I'll shut up. But after we got the book done and we were talking about, you know, agents and da-da-da, which is a whole other story, he said, gee, you know, I don't know what I'm going to write next. And so I said, well, you have to build your platform, so keep writing about marijuana. And he said, I don't know that I have anything left to say about it. Remember saying that, Tom?
Yeah.
And then the floodgates just opened, and he hasn't stopped writing about it since.
Yeah, I think I found my niche, and it's a pretty joyful niche. I'm happy being here.
Yep, Mary Jane wasn't going to let you go.
maybe 50 years stoned in 10 years or 6 years.
There you go.
I'm 44 already.
Sequel.
Yeah.
Well,
sequel.
You're gonna. Yeah, we'll have to do it at the 55 though, because you got to be honest now. You've got more than 40 going here. Collectively,
okay,
we're trying.
Yeah.
Can't keep up, Tom.
Well, yeah.
Well, it was a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us, and we will send prayers for you and Holly and everybody in your lives. And you are always welcome to come on. And when you do come back to town, remember, sharing is caring, and we got you covered.
Okay, well, it's really been a delight. This is my longest interview, and I've loved the whole thing. And thanks, Marla, for pitching in. And,
yes,
my pleasure. How's it going, you guys?
Thank you so much. Yeah, and you want to tell everybody one more time how they can get a hold of you, the book, and where you're going to be next?
Well, I have my website is 40yearsstoned.com. The book is available on Amazon in either Kindle or paperback. I'm going to New York to read at Shakespeare and Company next week on Tuesday night at 7. And whoever else wants to ask me on, I'm open for dialogue.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy your cannabis, and enjoy writing. And you know what? You've inspired us. We're going to have you send us an 8x10 of that photo with your pipe signed to us. So we'll put you on our weed wall of fame.
Weed wall. So I'll have to come by next time I'm in Tucson to see my friends. I'll have to come by and look at your weed wall, my dear.
You have to. You have to. Come for help.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take good care.
Day.
Bye-bye. Happy weed
Wednesday. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you,
Tom.
Thank
you so much.
Everybody. And Editor Marla.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank
that was
you,
awesome.
Marla.
Seriously, what would Tom do? He'd be getting enhanced and getting high.
Yeah.
And enjoying it and speaking out about it. I love that because, you know, a lot of people look down on recreational users, and there's no reason they should because it's a good feeling, the enhancement, the high. And for those of you who do have body challenges or pains or aches or arthritis or whatever, it's extremely helpful for that, as we've heard for the Parkinson's and those with MS and other conditions, that the state of Arizona actually approves. You can come on down to Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come down. See us. We're going to get Tom's picture up on our weed wall. That's a great idea. So thanks for that one. You guys, you have to check that picture out. Go to 40 Year Stone, and it's spelled out, not the number 40, but it's F-O-R-T-Y, 40yearstone.com, and check out Tom. Excellent, excellent. I can't wait to get the book, and what a guy. That's so great. It just sounds like a real peaceful.
Another perspective, another person.
Yeah, I love
you know,
that.
Journey through.
I love that perspective.
Being on cannabis, you know, everyone's got one, and it's, you know, like Marlene said, it's you putting it out there, putting it on paper. And do you enjoy that kind of stuff, you know? So it's just, oh, sorry, Marla.
Okay.
It's just important to get those different perspectives from
different people
who are using this. Because right now we're trying to get an initiative passed. We're trying to show that there are people out there using it for these different things, and how they use it every day is different from someone else uses it every day,
and
but it could
help. And this is just as important.
Right.
This is just as important to inspire, to help people get creative, to help people focus. Cannabis is just as important in a non-medical way for those who want it, the enhancement or the recreation, as it is for the medical folks. So it's all the way around awesome, and Marla had a great point about the Republicans. They're jumping on board. You bet your booties they are. They want control and money. Duh. Any of them do.
Well, it's a new industry. It's
it's booming, and people are just like sitting around figuring out how can I get in? What can we do? Well, keep thinking that way, because the more these cannabis people are coming out of the cannabis closet and sharing stories like this, the more other people are going to feel comfortable and say, you know what? I really like cannabis. I like that it makes my back feel better, but I also like that it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. What's wrong with a little bit of happiness?
And like Tom said, you know, I doesn't really have an ailment to use it for, but uses it. And preventative reasons.
Well, just for enhancement.
Enhancement.
Okay.
But
you like
you
to
know,
get high.
It's across the board.
Let's just say
it helps.
Tom likes to get high.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps him get creative and helps him write. And it does. It completely helps his mental state. It unlocks something for him and it opens his mind and eyes.
So he likes
something.
The sativa.
Well.
Durban points.
Well, yeah, we would say sativa. He doesn't know what he likes. He likes the head high, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's like, just give it to me. It's like Willie, just bring it. I don't need a name. But they did take his Durban poison.
Ooh.
well, folks, my goodness.
It's
now
that time
it's
again.
Time. I know. It happened fast. And what an awesome interview. Thank you, Tom and Marla, for coming on. 40yearstone.com. Check it out. Come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center. We are at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. Come get certified. It's simple. New ones, $270. Renewals, $250. And you can get a food stamp discount. And if you want to take the paperwork home and do it yourself, we'll even give you a discount for that. So come on down. There's discounts galore and the lowest prices in town. Check out TumbleweedsHealthCenter.com. We would like to thank Tom Hoos for coming on and Marla. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, the Grower House, Tumbleweeds Health Center, Studio C, and all our friends out there. We love you guys. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Come out, come down, sign the petition, let's get this plant legalized, and let's get it back in our hands.
Yes. Sign that initiative, folks.
Get on down here. All right. Happy Weed Day Wednesday. Remember.
We'll hear you next week.
That's right. Be smart.
Be safe.
And educate. We love you.
Bye, Mel.
Bye, Camus Kid. Bye, Tech Gal.
Have a good day, Tech Gal.
Peace out.
Word.